Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. How comfortable are you right now in your life? Are things going well? You have a good working environment, a steady job, solid relationships with your boss and your coworkers. Do you get along well with your friends in school? Now, maybe some of you can say yes to those questions. But let me ask you this. Does your boss or your coworkers or your friends in school, do they know that you're a believer in Jesus Christ? Have you told them? Have you ever been frank with people that you believe in Jesus as your Savior? So where are you right now? Are you in the world, but not of it? Or are you of this world and under its dark rule? Our gospel text today is from John's gospel, and John wants us to be very clear where we are. So I ask again, how comfortable are we in this world? You see, John narrates a story, and it's a tragic story. At the very beginning of it was the Word, and the Word was responsible for making this world. And even after humanity fell into sin, the Lord would not leave his world lost and forsaken. He would not leave his creation behind. God loved the world, even to the point of giving his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus is the light of the world to save fallen humanity. And yet, in the midst of all this, despite God showering his love upon the world and his willingness to send his own Son to save it, the world remains blind to the truth. No matter how much God loved the world still hates Jesus and the Father. And that's because the world has been hijacked by the devil. John laments at the beginning of his gospel, Jesus was in the world and the world was created through him. And yet the world did not recognize him. I mean, he had made the entire world, and yet the world did not recognize him. In fact, it was the bitter hostility of the world that led to Jesus' death. In the face of that open, outright hostility, Jesus told Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, that his kingdom, it's not of this world. I told you, it's a tragic story. See, there's a battle going on all around us. Many Christians call it spiritual warfare. Now, this battle is going on already in Jesus' day. See, Satan seized control over the good world God had created and used it to crucify Jesus. The world is under the control of the forces of darkness and the evil one. The world hates not only Jesus, but anyone who would follow after him. See, in believing in Jesus as our Savior, you and I have become the targets of the enemy's attacks. And that's why Jesus appeals to his Father in today's text. I'm not praying that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of this world, just as I am not of the world. But if we're not of the world, that's why we have to ask, how comfortable are we in it? Once Jesus won his victory on the cross over the world, he returned to the Father, but he left us in the world to carry on the Father's work. Now, this was a tough job, and so Jesus prayed for us at the end of our text. And to understand that prayer, we really need to have a handle on the word sanctify. I mean, it's not a word used much anymore. To sanctify means to render someone holy. Jesus prays, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also sent them into the world. I sanctify myself for them so that they may be sanctified by the truth. Now, these words remind us that the word of God bears with itself the power to change people, to make them holy. Jesus' own live differently from the world. Now, sometimes people misunderstood the first Christians. They were hated by the Romans and others in the empire. They were willing to tell a world that believed in all sorts of gods and goddesses and worldviews that the one and only God is the God of Jesus Christ. Now, these Christians were also very strict in how they lived. They took seriously Jesus' words that we are to be a holy people. Those who are Christ's own, who are in Christ, live in a way that brings glory to their Savior and Lord, their Master. Now, ironically, that lifestyle of holiness could also bring complaints from the world. And I've actually seen this happening at the college where I work. It's been almost 20 years there. And somewhere around 10 years ago, I'd say, I started noticing some changes. So I go over to the college gym during a work week, and when I'm lifting weights, a football team is usually in the weight room. Sometimes it's a basketball team. But I noticed about a decade ago that the guys' language was becoming more openly profane. Before then, they'd at least, you know, try to avoid the foul language around the faculty and staff, let alone a religion professor. But now it has become much more open. And likewise, the music the guys bring into the gym grew much fouler. The guys started playing more rap during their workouts, and I have to say, the lyrics of a lot of those rap songs, I mean, it's pretty profanity-laced. You know, it's hard not to think of the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 3. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Viper's venom is under their lips. Their throat is an open grave. What comes off the lips of God's people is very different from what comes off the lips of the world. Or the Apostle James, the mouth that blesses God is not to curse those made in God's image. It is a failure when blessing and cursing come out of the same mouth. I was talking to the coaches over the years about the music. And eventually they turn off the profanity-laced music for good. I mean, it took a while. But I was really encouraged several years back when a young man on the football team threatened to quit the team over the music. Well, in the years that followed, a lot of Christians ended up on that football team. And one of them really helped with Athletes in Action. It's a Christian organization for athletes on campus. So nowadays when I'm over at the gym, one of the Athletes in Action guys wears his official club t-shirt to the football workouts. And that t-shirt has a huge cross on the back of it. I mean, he became a Christian in college, and now he wants the whole world to know. But there is another way that you can tell Christians at the gym. You know, they're among the ones who don't use profanity. They know that it does not befit those who serve the Lord Jesus. Now, sometimes the world gives us grief for our witness. You know, the rest of the football team didn't understand why the profanity and violence-laced music would be a problem. One time after I talked privately to a coach and the music went off, a student who didn't realize my role in that began to grumble to one of the guys working out next to him. They didn't understand what the problem was with the music. I mean, that's how we all talk. I think to myself, well, no, that's how the world talks. Jesus' own remain in this world, but they're not of it. And his word has made us holy. We behave differently, and it's not just in how we speak. A few years ago, our kids started a Christian group at the high school. Now, these are young people thrilled with coming to know others who share the same Lord and Savior. So they read scriptures, they play games, they talk about the Lord. Well, the assistant principal did not want their group to be on campus. He'd been finding all sorts of excuses to keep a Christian group from forming. I mean, even though there's a Muslim student association at the high school. So the kids had to dot all their I's and cross their T's and be very careful, but the Lord blessed their labors with success. And they recently ordered T-shirts for their group, and these T-shirts have a verse actually from one of our readings for today, one of John's epistles. We love because God in Christ first loved us. And they wear those t-shirts on the high school campus. We're in the world, but we're not of it. So how comfortable are you in the world? Of course, when people know that you believe in the Lord Jesus, it ups the stakes a bit, doesn't it? The world's hostile to the Lord, and so then they begin to judge us, you know, when our confession doesn't quite measure up. Now, that shouldn't keep us from confessing the Lord. It just encourages us to be more consistent in our lives and our witness. You know, there's this old Norwegian catechism that says that God our Father called us aside one day in the home palace of heaven and sent us out to this island colony called Earth. After describing what our life would be like here, the Lord ends by saying, you know, the greatest danger is that you may end up falling in love with the island. Love the island, but do not love it because it is your home. It is not your home. Your home is here in the palace with me. Some of the early Christians used to tell a similar story. The people of a kingdom had left their beautiful homeland behind to enter a different world, a plainer, uglier world. And they began to eat the local people's food. It was heavier than they were used to, and it dulled their senses and lulled them to sleep. They forgot who they were and where they really belonged. So the king sent his son into the world, and he came and reminded them of who they were and to wake them from their slumber. I mean, isn't it easy to get sleepy when the lights are turned out? Sometimes we as believers in the Lord can be lulled into a spiritual slumber by the darkness of our world. And Jesus has to come and wake us back up and remind us that we're not of this world. Now, you know you're on the right track when you experience the hostility of the world aimed at you because you're a Christian. Has that ever happened to you? You know, Luther used to talk about it a lot. We should expect trials in this world, because the world is hostile to the Lord and to his followers. So Luther talked about the trials with which we struggle. And he called it in the Latin, tentatio. It's actually kind of famous in Luther's thought. But in the German, it's called Anfechtung. And I have to be honest, it's hard for me to forget that word. When I was in graduate school after seminary, a friend of mine was very taken with Luther's theology, especially its practical aspects. So he loved that German word, Anfechtung, and he used to fixate on it. I mean, he'd say it all the time, and I mean, it does have a ring to it. And what Luther was saying here is that we should not be surprised by the trials that we face in this world, both in ourselves and from the world around us. The world is hostile to our God and our Savior. It's almost another mark of a Christian that we should experience suffering and trials in this life. Now, we may not live as Christians undergoing the same sort of persecution and martyrdom that takes place in most parts of the world these days, not like what Mr. Yakuji talked to us about earlier this year, but we're still going to experience our trials as Christians. Luther rightly saw it as inevitable. So did Jesus in our gospel text. The world hates us, and so Jesus prayed that the Father would protect us from the evil one who rules over this world. And the Lord will. You know, Luther said, I didn't learn my theology all at once. I had to ponder over it ever more deeply. And my spiritual trials were of help to me in this. One doesn't learn anything without practice. That spiritual practice, that discipline, begins with our recognition that our faith in Jesus Christ means we're not of this world. We're aliens to it. You know, there was an old Petra song back in the 80s that reflected on the words of our gospel text today. To quote the lyrics, "We are pilgrims in a strange land. We're so far from our homeland. With each passing day, it seems so clear the world will never want us here. We're not welcome in this world of wrong. We're foreigners who don't belong. We're strangers. We're aliens. We're not of this world. We're envoys. We must tarry. With this message, we must carry. There's so much to do before we leave with so many more who may believe. Our mission here can never fail, and the gates of hell will not prevail. You know, Jesus told us men would hate us, but we must be of good cheer. He has overcome this world of darkness, and soon we will depart from here. Friends, we'll be soon leaving this world, and always remember where your true home is, and let the world know you do not belong here. Never get too comfortable in this world. Oh, and by the way, that Petra song, it's a Christian group. The music's not of this world either. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.